This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hi, this is Dave Musial, owner of Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, and Electric. With our biggest sale ever, furnaces from $39 a month, furnace and air conditioning combos from $59 a month, plus 72 months interest-free financing and up to a $4,000 system rebate. Four Seasons guaranteed to beat any competitor's price by up to $1,000 guaranteed. So call today for your free in-home estimate and same-day installation.
For all the right reasons, call 866-4-SEASONS.
Chicago, the grudge matches on the gridirons might be gone, but get ready to hit the ball and touch them all at your local Chevy dealer, where you'll find the real MVPs of SUVs. If you're thinking about rounding third and heading for home in a new Chevy, you're not alone. The right vehicle makes all the difference when it comes to safety, confidence, and comfort on the road. You saw the Chevy lineup at the auto show. Now it's time to take the next step and batter up. Need the power and durability of a Silverado? The all-weather confidence of an Equinox or Blazer? The spacious comfort of a Traverse, Tahoe, or Suburban? Or the sporty city-friendly Trax? Your local Chevy dealer has exactly what you need to win the game like a pro. So don't wait. Head to ChevyDriveChicago.com today. Browse the newest models, special offers, locate the nearest dealer, and start shopping online. Things are warming up out there, and you need a vehicle you can trust. Find yours now at ChevyDriveChicago.com. Chevy. Together, let's drive.
So Josh Appel is with me today at the Amerant Bank Arena. So explain this to me a little bit about the Florida Panthers trade. I thought Spencer Knight was having a really good season. I think there were times during the season where we were saying he was playing better than Sergei Bobrovsky. And I thought, and just explain it to me, I thought having a quality backup is super important because there are some times where a goalie goes on a cold streak. And sometimes you have that 1-2 punch, which we kind of had last season.
Dollars, yeah.
You have that 1-2 punch. It really makes things easier because you're not worried about giving a night of rest to someone. So explain to me first why trade Spencer Knight. Is Seth Jones that good? Was the need that big? Like, explain it to me.
So start with your first question. I was the season that Spencer Knight has been having is such a huge bounce back for him after all the things he had gone through. He was the third goalie throughout the playoffs last year. He played the entire season last year in Charlotte. Comes up this year, trying to hold that weight of being the backup, and played very well, as you pointed out, in the 20-some-odd games that he found action in. But if you remember, the Panthers, over the last handful of years under Bill Zito, have made a ton of pretty big trades, and with that you give up a lot of your assets, so they don't really have much to give up for a player the caliber of Seth Jones. Spencer Knight, clearly one of their assets, and the first round pick they sent, clearly one of the ones they're comfortable going with. So from that standpoint, you kind of had to give to get here. I think it's a good trade for both sides because, you know, Sergei Bobrovsky still has one more year left. He's going to be here next year, and then you can reevaluate your goalie situation after that. The Panthers acquired in Seth Jones, a right-handed offensive defenseman, 6'4", 200-plus pounds. He'll be paired up with Nico Mikkola on the second pairing. Mikkola will maybe be able to kind of make up for some of the defensive deficiencies that Seth Jones might have. But the Panthers have desperately needed another right-handed defenseman. Aaron Ekblad's been their only one, and they don't really have a good power play quarterback yet. It's been good enough. But Seth Jones adds another element to their power play. He can also kill penalties as well. And he's such a good fit in this system. And to your question on goaltending about, you know, do you need that second guy? Well, yeah, it's nice to have. But I think what Paul Maurice has built here with this system, I think they're comfortable with pretty much, for the most part, obviously, anybody being back there. And Chris Drieger, who was promoted from the AHL to come be the backup to Sergei Bobrovsky.
And he was here before.
Yep. If you remember, he played very well for the Panthers in that COVID-shortened season.
Yep.
It's already been 5 years since then.
Wild.
And the Kraken rewarded him with a contract.
You know what? Now that you say that, I think on our best of spreadsheet, we have a Chris Drieger interview. I may be wrong. I got to look at this. Go ahead. What you were saying. I'm just kidding. Was it that? Because I remember it being long ago. Was it 5 seasons ago that he was playing?
Yeah, because remember he was starting in that series that Spencer Knight ended up playing game five down here where the Panthers extended the series.
Right.
It was Bob and Drieger who were alternating before that. Both didn't play very well, but Drieger was great in that regular season. I think Seth Jones, if you look at some of his numbers, I think they might be a bit of a result of the team that he was playing on. He was relied upon as being the guy for a team in Chicago that is not trying to win right now.
Has he ever lived up to the hype? I remember when he was coming out in the draft.
The Panthers took Barkov over him.
Correct. Yeah. Has he ever lived up to the hype?
He's a four-time All-Star. I mean, he's had a really, really good career, and he got rewarded with a big contract by Chicago a couple years ago. It hasn't worked out for them. But again, he was relied upon there to be the guy with Chicago. Here, he's going to be on the second pair defense. He got minute eaters all around him. Ekblad, Forsling, Mikula plays a ton. Kulikov plays a ton. Like, the pressure on Seth Jones is not going to be the same as it was, and the load that he has to carry is not going to be the same that it was here. He'll have his specific roles, and I'm sure Paul Maurice will deploy him very well. And he's got 4 or 5 more years left on his contract.
It is indeed a Chris Drieger interview that we have in our best of folder. Like, that's how interesting we thought he was. I didn't realize that till right now, that it's Chris Drieger who we had on the show.
And they basically plucked him out of nowhere. And that's the other part to this, right? So you said that Spencer Knight was understood to be the goalie of the future. And for a while, I thought the same. And I still think he's going to have a good career in the NHL. But if you look at who Washington has in goal this year, Washington is jockeying for the President's Trophy this year with Winnipeg. I think Washington is actually first in the entire league right now. But their two goaltenders, Charlie Lindgren and Logan Thompson, right? They're above-average goaltenders, names you've never heard of. But they're not big money guys, right? I think one of them just extended today for 3 years and $9 million, or $3 million a year. And they have a great structure, a great system they play in front of him, and he makes saves when he has to. And when the Avalanche won, Darcy Kuemper was their goalie. When the Panthers lost to Vegas, Aiden Hill was their goalie. These are not big-name guys.
Right.
Aiden Hill has turned into that thanks to a Stanley Cup win. But you can win if you have a good, solid structure, a good, solid system, which they do, Paul Ball, and have an above-average goalie that you don't pay big money to.
Is this a big gamble on their part?
I don't think it's that big of a gamble, right? Because while, yes, you do want to keep in mind what happens 2-3 years from now, like, the Panthers are in their window.
Oh,
right,
yeah,
now.
I'm with you. If that's the only gamble, I'm with you. You have a window right now. Don't worry. Like, rack up a couple cups if you can. I'm wondering if it's a gamble in the fact that you're assuming that Paul Ball continues to work, that the defense plays well enough that you can get by with a goalie who maybe is one step below what Spencer Knight was doing.
I think that you can win that way. And I think that you can look directly at the department that Roberto Luongo leads here. The goaltending department of excellence, I think, is the official name for it. They can identify guys, and they've drafted a ton of them over the last few years. And so maybe when it's time to move on from Sergei Bobrovsky, they bring in a veteran, and they can pair him up with one of the young guys they've drafted. I think that this front office, from Will Wido to everybody else who works underneath him, you can trust that they have an idea and a plan of what they're going to do moving forward. And I was actually, one of my first reactions to this trade was, well, Aaron Ekblad's a free agent after this season. Sam Bennett's a free agent after this season. They'll have around $20 million worth of cap space. And I'm trying to think to myself, well, does this mean that one or both are gone? Or does this spell the end for Aaron Ekblad here? And I don't think that's the case. I think they can still work this out, given what is being retained salary-wise by Chicago. I don't know if they're going to be able to keep both Bennett and Ekblad, but I think they should be able to keep one or both. I don't think this has any hindrance on it. Like, again, you don't want to go into next season with the same issue they had going into this year, issue in quotations, obviously. You have one right-handed defenseman out of the six you deploy. So now you've got at least two of them, one for the top two pairings. I don't think you want to be in that same situation next year and lose a guy like Aaron Ekblad, who, you know, for whatever criticism he's gotten over the years here, injury-wise or, you know, little lapses in his play, Aaron Ekblad's an all-time Panther, and it would be really tough for me to see him leave here because he was a big part of why they were able to finally get over the hump and win last year. And one more thing, we talked about Matthew Tkachuk going on long-term IR in the first segment. So that opens up $8.7 million worth of cap for the rest of the regular season. The trade deadline is Friday. I don't know if they're going to make another big splash because, again, their assets really aren't there right now to do something, but I would imagine they'll make one or two more moves here before the end of the week because of the cap that's opened up with Tkachuk going on IR.
And Bill Zito, you mentioned him. You called him Will Wido mm-hmm. because he puts up W's, so I want people to understand. Bill Zito, though, I saw you tweet out last night, and I think it was Will Manso who responded and said, that was my same thought, which is Bill Zito has built up enough credibility that even if you look at the trade at first glance and you go, you still have to go, wait a second. Bill Zito has he hit on everything, every big trade that he's done?
I can count on one hand the amount of moves where I don't know, where it didn't really work out. Like Ben Chiarot came here and was okay, but they gave up a unprotected first-round pick for him, and they nearly missed the playoffs. That could have been disastrous. Thankfully, they obviously went on to the Stanley Cup. You can maybe criticize the Claude Giroux trade, but I think you do that every single time in the position that they were in at that point in that season. But when Sam Bennett was acquired from Calgary, his underlying numbers were not all that great. It wasn't really a popular move with people who are like, what are the Panthers doing giving up this for that? When they brought in Brandon Montour, same type of thing. Nico Mikkola, same type of thing. To a degree, not really the same, but to a degree, Sam Reinhart. They found Gustav Forsling off waivers. Like, this front office is able to identify guys that maybe aren't playing up to their full potential in other places, put them in this system and mold them, and they turn into what you've seen over the last 2-3 years, which is a cup contender and a cup champion.
I wonder if Bill Zito, and maybe it's too early, but we talk about, you know, Pat Riley being the godfather, right? And listen, I know people don't want to hear it about Chris Greer right now, but I happen to think he's made some very brilliant moves in his tenure.
Mixed bag.
But I think getting someone like Tyreek Hill, where he really could have gone anywhere, I think, because everyone wanted him at that point. Is Bill Zito one of the best executives? Is he on the Mount Rushmore of South Florida sports executives?
I certainly think, given the championship that they won last year and generally what this franchise has turned into from where they were, he doesn't get all the credit for that. Obviously, there are other areas of this organization, Matthew Caldwell and, of course, the owners.
They're willing to spend or whatever.
Correct.
But Bill Zito has taken big swings.
Oh, yeah.
And connected.
Swings you don't see. Again, we talk about this plenty, but trading the year after you make it to the second round of the postseason, granted, you get swept by tonight's opponent, the Tampa Bay Lightning, but your franchise's all-time leading scorer, Jonathan Huberdeau, a top pair, really good defenseman in Mackenzie Weegar, who were massive parts of your 122-point season winning the President's Trophy, and say, you know what? This was really fun. We were a good team, but that what we were doing there, those aren't the type of guys that are going to get us over the hump and win a cup. So he takes the big swing, trades those two guys, brings in Matthew Tkachuk. Big swing for Sam Reinhart, Sam Bennett, and all these guys, and it's worked out. It's honestly insane, the clip that he's hitting on with these moves. Again, you can count on one hand, maybe not even up to five, the amount of moves that they've missed on. It really is impressive what he's done here, and it kind of goes under the radar because of the Panthers, right? And, like, we pay attention, but, like, does the casual fan know the guy who's pulling all the strings, like a casual Dolphins fan or a casual Heat fan would know that Pat Riley and,
right,
and Chris Greer are running things? I don't know. Maybe I'm underestimating the portion of the fan base, but
Bill Zito's actually having a better run in the last few years than Pat Riley is.
Yeah, I mean, I had never heard of Bill Zito when the Panthers hired him as general manager, and all he has done at every single step has exceeded expectations and then some. He's brought success to this organization and sustained success. Like, the idea that their entire core is signed for the next 6 to 8 years and that it's going to be here with the same guys on affordable contracts, not overpaying, it's insane what he has been able to build here. And this market is very fortunate that, number one, he got extended last offseason, and number two, that he's just here in general.
Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Survivor 48 is here. And after every episode, dig deep into the show with On Fire, the official Survivor podcast. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.